This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, my name is Marius Morario. I'm the co-founder and the CEO of Tracy Martin Beauty and Wellness. And what I love about beauty is that for me, it stands for celebration of life. Because if you celebrate life, you know how to do self-care. And if you know how to do self-care and self-love, you will have a happier life. So for us at Tracy Martin Beauty is not skin deep, but it's about having a happy, healthy, and fulfilled life. And we do that through self-love and self-care.
Finding the secret sauce in a large industry might seem like a challenge. However, for the rock star of beautiful thinking, who also happens to be the co-founder and president of skincare brand Tracy Martin, that sauce might not be secret after all. Coming up, Marius shares with you how what's been called the Tesla of skincare has been able to make an impression with the most discerning clients in the beauty market, and why empowering the consumer with a whole sense of beauty is the key to success.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
So Marius, thank you so much for joining us here on Beauty is Your Business. Really excited to have you here.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to have this interview with you. When I met you at Indie Beauty Expo, I was like so excited because you just sound so knowledgeable and fun at the same time.
Me? I'm like, you were the one who had me like talking for 2 hours. So tell me, I mean, so Tracy Martin is well known in the, you know, in the industry. You have like a ridiculous clientele. And you can tell our listeners more about who those people are, but they've been religiously going to you before red carpet events, before fashion week, before weddings. What is the secret sauce behind what you guys do at the spa that brings people like Naomi Campbell, Diane von Furstenberg, and everyone else keep coming back?
I love the way you call it the secret sauce, because truly it is a combination of a lot of different elements. So it really started all with this amazing equipment that we co-designed with a custom manufacturer called the ReSculptor. And we did that because we felt there was nothing in the beauty business that would give you technology at the same time as pampering. So there was like a void. You could get like this beautiful massage at the five-star resort, or you could get like go to the derm and really get some amazing treatments, but those would have a downtime. There was nothing that was a so-called one-stop shopping. And it's funny because Susan Sarandon called it, gave us a quote saying it's a one-stop shopping, what we do, that people get to relax and at the same time look like they had a vacation. So it was really shifting this whole paradigm of like no pain, no gain. So the ReSculptor is a big part of it. And it's a machine that delivers a very mild current that actually is able to give you the appearance of a lifted face. So of course, the other part is like our skincare products. And the reason why we came up with those is because as a nutritionist, I felt really strongly that there should be no petrochemicals in skincare. Not just back then, it wasn't so much. It was a little bit of a safety concern because I knew parabens, for instance, were basically estrogenic in nature. And I knew that that was the bad news in regards to like attaching to certain receptors in the breast and prostate. But I also knew that it made no sense to actually put something from the petrochemical industry on your body, considering that it's an organ, it's your largest organ, and it's a semi-permeable membrane. So that's why I said no petrochemicals. At the same time, our clients were used to like the best skincare products in the world, you know, from like derm products to like high lux department store products. So I was faced with this dilemma of like, what do I do? We needed to use something in our facials and also needed to retail something to our clients. So it had to be natural, but it also had to be high performance. And that's why we came up with our skincare line. So I actually formulated our skincare line. And it's interesting because that's probably one of the most important parts, ingredients in the secret sauce that you are mentioning. The third part is, of course, our practitioners, and because the human touch, I think, is still very important. So while we're very technologically oriented and advanced, we feel that the human touch is never going to go away in beauty. I think it's it's part of that feel-good self-love concept that I mentioned before, and I think it's hard to do only with technology. So a really good protocol, a really good technique, a really amazing product line, and the machine that's proprietary is probably the biggest part of why people come. Of course, the space is also beautiful. We are in a beautiful penthouse on Fifth Avenue. Our client, Kate Winslet, actually said she wants to move in because it's so beautiful. And, you know, Brad Pitt gave us a quote. He walked in and there's this beautiful skylight and he goes like, "Let there be light," in our guest book. So clearly it's also a big draw that you get this beautiful space where you can escape from everything in New York and feel like it's an oasis and a place where you can relax and recharge your battery, literally, because we're recharging your cells with the current and we're recharging you with the pampering and the sleep that you're going to have, because it's a divine 1 hour treatment where you can actually fall asleep or meditate during it.
That's amazing. So tell me more. I mean, like, so what I thought was interesting when we first chatted was, like, when did you start the skincare line? And it obviously came out of necessity. And, you know, I feel like you were one of the early, everyone's talking about clean beauty today, but you were certainly an early innovator in the space.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I am being called the OG of high performance natural skincare, or even of natural skincare outside of the health food store. I believe that I was one of the first brands that actually brought this concept to a wider audience, other than a client that was already very clear that they basically prioritize safety over efficacy. So they would walk into a health food store and not really care so much about, like, what is this product going to do for me? But, like, I just want to moisturize and cleanse and I'm happy with it and I'm okay with aging. Mm-hmm. Our clients, of course, were absolutely, you know, not like that, I would say. They were interested in optimizing their beauty. They were interested in looking the best they can, because it wasn't just for them, just like a personal thing, but it was also a professional thing. So many of them were making, basically their careers were basically based on their faces, right? So from actors to musicians to models. So they were using high tech, you know, derm products, you know, and that was really where my focus was. I needed to give them what they wanted. And also, that was really the principle, is to, just like with the services, is to merge the idea of, like, efficacy and holistic, so that you can actually have it all, that it's not, they're not mutually exclusive, which is what people thought in the beginning, right? So they believed that you could, people would ask me all the time, like beauty buyers would ask me all the time, are you natural or are you science-based? I was like, no, I'm actually both. I utilize science to best harness the power of natural ingredients like phytochemicals and vitamins and, you know, all kinds of amazing enzymes. So nature has basically all the answers. You just need to utilize science so that you can best combine and use the right concentrations and use the data and the clinical data to actually create the result that you're looking for. So for me, it was, of course, just like our clients were seeking, you know, answers for lack of elasticity, answers for hyperpigmentation, answers for wrinkles, you know, and of course, all in the realm of the beauty world. So, you know, improving the appearance of these signs of aging was really the most important thing. And then in terms of ingredients, I basically was limited from the pool where I was able to get my ingredients from. So it was extremely difficult in the beginning to do that because most of the ingredients were actually mixed with like petrochemicals. So you'd have like a beautiful botanical extract and it was mixed with propylene glycol. And, you know, some argue it's not one of the worst petrochemicals, but to me, it wasn't about like, what are the worst offenders? You know, this whole clean movement is about, okay, let's not use the bad ingredients. You know, my t-shirt says, I don't do parabens. Of course, that emerged as one of the villains of like the, you know, beauty ingredient industry because of the study that was in the UK in 2003 where it occurred. You know, basically it showed up in breast tissue and people were very, very concerned. But for me, it was more of a philosophical, you know, vision of like, why would I do something? Why would I put something on my largest organ when I don't really eat a piece of plastic and drink petrol in the morning for breakfast? You know, my stomach is an organ. My skin is the largest organ. Why do I treat my skin in a different way? I don't know if you are aware of it. I mean, of course, this is now, but back then already, I kind of had enough data to know that that there's penetration of ingredients through the skin. Now in May this year, they just had like the study with the four sunscreens, the four chemical sunscreens, and how within a day they all showed up in people's bloodstream. And, you know, it is unbelievable to the exposure that we as humans have to chemicals in this world that are man-made, that we do not know what they do in our bodies. You know, it is mind-boggling. So I call it the Russian roulette. You know, the bullet might be in there, a bullet might not be in there. Why would you want to take a chance when there's an alternative? So that was my lens. So basically it was, okay, I need to create the same quality and the same efficacy type of product that my clients are using, but I need to be able to get it done with natural ingredients. And that was a tall order, I have to tell you, because I would, first of all, I couldn't find a manufacturer that was willing to even entertain the idea of working with me or doing something like that. I had others where they said, why don't you just worry about the packaging? We do the formulations for all the big strategics and we know what we're doing. So just trust us. And I was like, with all due respect, it's not about mistrust. It's about a revolution. I call it the pure revolution. I have a t-shirt for that as well. because really, at the end of the day, you know, some of these companies that started a long, long time ago with natural skincare, they were right. You know, natural ingredients are really should be the only ones that are used on skin. I think what they did that allowed all these other companies to come and question that sort of back to nature approach is that they didn't create the efficacy that our consumers wanted, right? So if you are creating a protocol that is just a feel-good self-care ritual, but really doesn't give you the derm results, I think in this day and age, people will drop you, you know? And this is why, for me, it was important that my skincare line is not just another health food store type of brand. And I have to say, I'm very lucky because, you know, our clients, they're really tough customers sometimes, and they accepted the first product that I produced, and I formulated the firming serum, and it was the first one, and people raved about it, and they had no idea it was even natural for the longest time.
Cool. So, you know, I think I'm excited, you know, to delve deeper into this because I have to say, I mean, I speak with a lot of entrepreneurs and people and manufacturers and everyone in the industry, but you're one of the most knowledgeable people I know. And so I definitely want to unpack that and understand the science of ingredients and, you know, really like what makes your product's different and stuff. But before we get into that, we'd love to break into snack time. So on the show, this is our moment where we get to quote unquote break bread, although not many people might be eating carbs on the show, but where we get to understand, a different, share a little bit more. So what did you bring today and like, what's the story behind it?
So I'm a health fanatic. Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, and it's not because I believe that one has to be extreme in life, because trust me, I do socialize, and when I socialize, I go to a restaurant and I eat and drink and get married like everybody else. Sure. Without having a worry, right? But as a nutritionist, I feel that part of being what I call bionic, right, in this world of environmental pollution and all the stressors that we have, is to actually find nutrients that actually make you feel stronger and healthier, and also work on beauty from the inside. So what I brought today for you guys, with not much preparation, is a ginger shot, because I believe that ginger is one of the most amazing ingredients out there. It is unbelievable what it does for arthritis. A lot of people don't know it's a very strong anti-inflammatory, and I would put it up there rivaling with turmeric in terms of its health benefits, Google ginger. You will find a world of information in terms of its benefits. And I think it tastes good as well, especially when you put it together with apple and what do they say about apple? An apple a day keeps the doctor away, sure. Right? So the apple ginger situation is something that is in my life a lot, and I hope you enjoy it. And then the other ingredient that is not consumed maybe as much as it should be, although I think a lot of people do it, do like eat olive oil, right? But I brought an olive snack, and I think it's a very cool thing that this company created an olive snack instead of like having to like basically have a glass jar full of liquid with you. I mean, who will take that to work, right? So they figured out how to package olives without all of that brine, and you can have olives as a snack, and they're low glycemic index, and they've got these incredible antioxidants in them, hydroxytyrosol, and I actually use olive leaf in one of my products because it's a really powerful antioxidant and antibacterial. So the olive is pretty amazing in my world. So very simple. There's not a lot of carbs. as you can see, I didn't bring popcorn or potato chips or anything like that. I actually do feel that the snack world also is going through a revolution as well.
Totally.
And it's really exciting because people need to actually have food in between sometimes so that they keep their blood sugar stable. But at the same time, the biggest offenders right now, when you go to a nutritionist, they'll tell you, oh, you have to stop eating this. This is really the cause of all your problems. And it's usually the snack, right? So there's that gap for healthy snacks.
So just curious, as a nutritionist, what are your thoughts on, obviously everyone has different types of body types and different reactions. And, there's a whole movement around, functional nutrition and doing DNA tests and understanding what food sensitivities are. I'm curious, what your thoughts are on that, trying to better understand a person to make recommendations. What's a myth? Is it a myth? Is it real? Let's debunk this. Unpack this for me.
Okay, that's a really good one, actually. Because, so first of all, I've seen it help and I've seen it damage. Okay. I've seen people come in and they go I'm an absolute mess. I don't even know what to do anymore. There's I'm bombarded with information and I have no idea what to eat anymore. And I feel like I am just paralyzed. I don't know what to do because there's so much information and I don't know what to believe in. And there's all these diets and, I'm completely confused. And then there's the person like me who goes Bring it on. I'm loving it. The more information, the better. Because I take it with a grain of salt, right? So it's just, I take another filter. I put another filter on it. And it makes me understand better and makes me listen to my body better. So when I eat a certain food, if I know something about it, you know, I listen to my body and I go like, is this true for me that this food maybe is not the best, right? So when you go into like, you know, testing, you know, and you start doing a food allergy, I think everybody should do it. I mean, I was allergic to salmon. I mean, imagine, like, you know, everybody tells you omega-3 fatty acids,
yeah.
Astaxanthin, right? Like the best stuff is in salmon. I mean, unless you're vegan, of course, but, you know, which I do think is a very good movement, is to eat less animal protein, actually, because it burdens our planet so much. But talking about like being allergic to something like that, you could be allergic to blueberries or apples or something like that. It gives you an idea how not to burden your body from an immunological perspective when you may be already struggling with other things, you know? So why have your food giving you more work to do in your body instead of like helping you actually heal, right? So let food be thy medicine, right? Like it's the most important thing. So I do believe that testing is good as long as it doesn't get you to be neurotic, right? You know, because then everything is out the door. If you start being so worried about your food that you can't go and socialize, that you don't have, that you're OCD and you don't have a social life anymore, then you might as well just eat regular food and enjoy your life because it's going to be probably better for your body.
Mm-hmm. Did you, any of your clients also work with you on nutrition? Because obviously the whole element, you know, from what you eat and, you know, how your diet is impacts your skin and your, you know, just like your whole physical being and, you know, reaction to inflammation and all that stuff.
Oh my God. It's one of the most important things that I address with people. You know, clients come in, they have acne and the first thing I do is ask them what they eat, you know, and I go like to the science first, and you know, I talked to them about the study where dairy and sugar raise insulin growth factor, right? And if you raise IGF-1, you will have more of a predisposition for acne. So that's the first thing I address with people with acne, because it's like addressing acne from the outside, you know, and blemishes from the outside without talking about lifestyle is actually, I believe, just really scratching the surface. It's like the tip of the iceberg, right? So that's why I do talk to them about nutrition. I talk to them about glycemic index. I talk to them about inflammation and foods that are anti-inflammatory, about food combining, about digestion. I talk to them about the microbiome and how the microbiome is so important for health and also for the health of your skin, because we have more bacterial cells around us than human cells in our body. It's incredible, right? So it's fascinating. We're actually attached to a bacterial colony, if you want to look at it that way. So we're like in this incredible symbiosis with the bacteria that live in and on us. And that's why it's important to address, because gut health is really where it all starts, right? And then, of course, you know, now we're looking into microbiome for skincare as well, and realizing that certain bacteria are more, you know, prone to create certain skin problems. So, yeah, I do talk to most of our clients about diet, unless they don't want to know about it. And of course, I would never push anything onto anybody.
Sure.
You know, people need to be able to be happy to receive information. If they're not ready, then it's better to wait than try and teach them, because there's no point.
So on that note, let's get healthy and take in some ginger, apple, well, and olives.
I hope you like it. After all,
love
yeah.
love ginger, huge fan. Like
that's great.
Like I'm like into a smoothie making like thing. Yeah. I'm trying all these different ingredients and stuff.
The best. So I love a smoothie for sure. And you know, it's the berries are one of my favorites. You know, they're so incredible. all the antioxidants and low glycemic index. I mean, everybody should eat more berries.
Yeah, cool.
Sorry, I didn't bring any today.
Oh, good. I think you're covered.
Entrepreneurista, a woman who organizes and operates a business, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so.
One who has a drive, passion, and vision with an undying determination to succeed.
She is fiercely motivated, ambitious, and competitive, forging her own path to independence and success.
That's an entrepreneurista.
Through the conversations on the Entrepreneurista podcast, we want to celebrate failures, reflect on successes, and get unfiltered about what it takes to be your own boss. This is the Entrepreneurista podcast, presented by Socialfly.
It's the best business meeting you'll ever have, with must-hear real-life looks at how leading women in business are getting it done
and what it takes to build and grow a successful company. It's beyond the gram,
with no filters,
no limits, and plenty of surprises. Check out all our latest episodes at entrepreneuristapodcast.com.
So, Marius, I mean, when I look at the business you guys started a couple of decades ago, really certainly the early innovators and looking at things that are all the trends now, but I mean, I think there's real authenticity. So tell us a little bit more about the Tracy Martin business today. Where is it at? You know, distribution of the skincare line. And what's the vision of where do you want to take it going forward?
Well, I'm very, very excited that we were able, even without any kind of big resources. So we never had like a friends and family around or anything like that. And a lot of businesses start with that. So we didn't have that, but we did have... we did have an Oprah show where we made $1 million from. So we had some help to actually build this product line. So that was already like a big thing that we had the resources to build a product line to get into the distribution where we currently are, which is basically mostly direct to consumer. So TracyMartin.com is like 30% of our business. We do have Blue Mercury and Space NK. I'm excited about both of those retailers. I think they're great. They carry some amazing lines, including a lot of indie beauty lines. And we're doing
they're
very well
curators.
There.
They're also strong curators. Like if you look at Marla and like, you know, I mean, Nikki, you know, look who started, you know, it's like definitely like a point of view.
And it was both Marla and Nikki who got me into those stores. Oh, yeah. And I am very grateful to both of them. And, you know, they were definitely visionaries, you know, to have a concept where you can bring lines like ours in there together with some of the most prestigious lines, you know, like La Mer and other lines that are sold in those stores and sort of create a mix for people so that they get to choose which direction they want to go into. So we're doing very well there. We also do well on Net-a-Porter because it is a global business, so we reach customers all over the world with our products, which is amazing because our customer base also in the spa is pretty international. So that was great. Amazon Luxury is really a convenience. I have had models and actresses saying, you know, when I do my shopping, I love seeing your product there and I could just add it onto my shopping cart. So it's... what we really want to do, though, is we want to scale it to do a very, very different level. And we believe that it can be done very easily with some resources. So we're actually currently having discussions with venture capital, VC firms and angel investors to take the business to the next level. So taking it to the next level means not just continue to innovate with product development, something that I'm most passionate about because this is really sort of my DNA, but also getting into like larger retailers that we now currently are probably not able to support, right? So if we were to go into like an Ulta or a Nordstrom, it would be a little bit difficult for us right now to staff it, you know, right. because of the working capital. I just think that it's also on the DTC side, you know. I mean, when you're looking at companies, you know, like Glossier, you know, and I think Emily Weiss is so amazing. And, you know, I had the privilege to have her in my spa and, you know, she still loves my cleanser and I'm very honored about that. But when you really think what kind of sort of like strategy goes into creating such a DTC brand and how much marketing dollars are needed and how much technology is needed to actually reach the customers in the best way and really have them collaborate with the brand in what they really want to have and also learn more about them, right? So learn about the customer. That all is about technology and funds, to be honest with you. So small brands like ours don't really get a chance to play in there yet without investment. So I'm very excited about that. And of course, also about, like, you know, hiring really brilliant people. Again, Steve Jobs was very clear about it that, you know, you need to hire people that are more intelligent than you, especially in particular areas, right? So it's like I had to become a generalist in this business because, you know, there was no one else to do the job, right? So you have to teach yourself everything from trademarks to product development to finances and operation. But really, you know, do I have to do all those jobs? And am I the best person to do all those jobs? Clearly not, right? So getting a COO and, you know, and also hiring like a director of sales would just take this company to a whole different level, because that is really what catapulted all the other companies that have done well when you look at it historically.
So just walk me more through the vision. I mean, we've talked about this concept of the Tesla of skincare. What does that mean? Let's say you have these resources. What is Tracy Martin today, and what is it in the future? You know, and how are you impacting change and disrupting, continue to innovate?
So the Tesla of skincare is simply saying, look, you can have it all. You can have the efficacy, you can have the purity, you can have the eco-friendliness. You know, innovating along the same lines that I have already innovated is actually pretty easy for me. Like, I am a natural innovator. You know, I sprout up with ideas. All I have to do is take the subway or, like, you know, an Uber to work, and already I have like all these incredible ideas. Wait until you give me a little vacation, which I haven't had for, like, as far as I can think back. I mean, my creativity will go overboard. So, you know, of course there's things like, you know, microbiome and CBD and, you know, personalization. There's trends like that, but there's things that we don't know yet that basically are coming up all the time. And there's basically this idea of, like, using nutritional information for cosmetics that I basically, in a sense, also pioneered. So I don't really think of my skincare as food for your skin, but rather nutraceuticals for your skin. Because your skin needs to have things pre-digested in order to be able to actually have the best results, right? So when you really look at a vitamin C, that is a powerful cosmeceutical, but it's the most commonly used nutraceutical, right? That's just one example. So there's incredible knowledge in the nutraceutical world that I have, where I can adapt certain nutraceuticals to become like the next cosmeceuticals. And I already have a patent in that direction. And it's very, very exciting. There's like a super berry from Chile that I will be working with. There's a B vitamin complex that I'm using to stop the glycation of skin, so the sugaring of collagen. It's unbelievable stuff. So I'm not really worried about that aspect. Being innovative is going to be easy. I think what is going to be the most interesting challenge is, in a good way, is how to scale this business and take something that we've already created that right now is at the cutting edge. Because right now, I don't feel like there's a lot of skincare lines that do what I do. There's no Tesla for skincare, I think, out there yet. So taking this concept to a wide audience is with people and resources that other companies have had that I've never had is going to be the most exciting thing for the next year, at least. So R&D is going to come naturally to me. But how do we get into these big stores and support these stores in a way? How do we educate people in the stores so that they understand the difference of our concept from the competition? How do we reach people online in the most effective way? That is what I'm really excited about in this next phase.
Cool. I mean, I think one of the things that was interesting as I look at how your business organically grew is that you had a very discerning, authoritative consumer that, you know, knows, tries everything. They know the best of the best, but you're almost able to test your products with them. Not test, but, you know, like share your products. And I think back to your, you know, the first cream you had, the firming serum, 2001, you said, and then you're using on your clients and Liv Tyler says, hey, put this in this baby bottle for me. So like, is that kind of how you envision continuing to develop products? And like, is it almost like part of the newness is like, if I come to the spa, I might see what's next before everyone else? Or like, how are you thinking about involving consumers in the product creation process, and what's going to be a unique barrier to entry for you?
I love that question. I love that question because it's truly not one versus the other. So basically, again, there's two schools of thought, right? You let the consumer decide what they want, right? So it's basically, you have, as a brand, you have very little input. All you have to do is listen. That may be working okay in some industries. I think in the skincare industry, it's not the perfect idea. And the reason is because skincare is a science, right? And it's derm science. And this is where I see a lot of the natural brands, in my opinion, making mistakes, you know, using certain ingredients that are natural in skincare that are actually not good for your skin.
Give me an example of one.
Cocoa butter, you know, is like a comedogenic ingredient. You shouldn't put it on your face. Bergamot oil, it's a photosensitive essential oil. You shouldn't put it on a leave-on product on your face. Both feel nice, one smells amazing, you know, it doesn't belong on the skin. You need to look at derm science in order to make a natural product. And I think a lot of the natural lines miss the derm science. And of course, a lot of the derm products, they have no understanding that the consumer does not want all those petrochemicals anymore. And this is where I come in. I go like, okay, I'm going to give you the cosmeceuticals. I'm going to give you the derm science. I'll make sure there's nothing in the product that's going to damage your skin. But I'm also going to give you the feel-good botanicals and the essential oils, and everything is going to be 100% safe for you. All right? So this is the idea of creating this unusual concept. In terms of taking it to the next level, you know, it is not so much about like the consumer only is deciding or I am only deciding, right? It's about taking it all the way through from like a university. You could work with like a university that does derm science and take that concept and then start working with your clients first in the spa, you know, to see how the product really works with the clients like Cindy Lauper, who's like become a friend, you know, in the past 20 years. So she's going to be very honest with me. It's like, Marius, this doesn't work, or yeah, you've got something. So it's first, it starts with a science and you can go way up to where the research is done, right? In the universities or like major clinical research, and then take that and sort of make it palatable by listening to your customers and listening to the consumer. And of course, also with the knowledge and experience that I've had in the past 20 years. So it's not one or the other. I think it's a fusion. Mm-hmm. You can tell like I'm very much about the fusion of things, right?
Yeah, I love it.
I don't like to, I don't believe the truth is either black or white. I think it's always, there's always a bit of this and a bit of that to actually come up with a solution that is going to help people, you know?
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I'm so excited for what's next for your business and to see how the future, the Tesla of skincare evolves from where it is today. I can just imagine with all the innovations happening in the space that you can just take this so much further, you know, like, you know, packaging, you know, shelf life, all the things that we're previously challenges, like, I feel like you can, it's just going to be a whole next level.
I so agree with you, and I can't wait to give you a ride in the new Tesla. Oh,
in well, the, I can't in the... wait to get the restructuring facial. I'm like, I've seen before and afters, and I'm like, it's kind of incredible. It's... I get why people pay for it.
people really feel like they look like they had a vacation, and they really look rested, and they feel beautiful. You see, this is, and I'm going back to this again, you know, it's not about making someone feel bad so that you can then fix it. It's about empowering women and men to actually embrace their beauty and really optimize it. So the word is optimization, and not you're wrong, you're broken, something's wrong with you, I'm going to fix it. That is something that it belongs in the medical world. And there's a reason why I didn't become a doctor, because, you know, I felt like there's enough of that, and there's not enough of this positive thinking about how do I keep well? How do we study health instead of studying disease? How do we stay well? How do we stay beautiful instead of like constantly worrying about like this is wrong and that is wrong? That creates a lot of stress.
It's true. And it's like how much of it's like, oh, how do we treat the symptoms versus like how do we fix so we don't have like address the causes, right?
So true. Look, in if you want like a crazy vision for the future, okay? There's there's no disease other than trauma. Everything else will be preventative. We will know, and science will help us. You'll have genetic testing, saliva testing, blood testing, all types of things that are part of functional medicine, and we will optimize your metabolism to the point where disease doesn't happen. And guess what? A lot of the aging won't happen either. So I would love to put myself out of business if people are beautiful and healthy forever. Mm-hmm. I will just start doing art, music, painting, whatever. I'll find something. So
I think
really,
we have a long way to go before then.
Yeah, there's a long way to go. But trust me, you know, there's definitely the science will get to the point where there's already biomarkers and genetic markers for a lot of things. And the same way they're going to have them for basically signs of aging. You know, I mean, already we know mitochondrial decline is one of the big problems in aging, right? So the energy in the cell drops and you don't create enough adenosine triphosphate, then you cannot create enough proteins. So there's NASA has come up with red light, which is a technology that raises ATP in the cell. It's amazing what can be done. So we just really need to get it to the level where we can bring it to the people. It will take some time.
Totally. I mean, and with all the research on longevity right now, you know, for health, but I mean, I think there's obviously impact for skin, beauty, wellness, and all of that. It's all so correlated, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, next up, we're going to hit the pan with Marius and understand him at a more personal level.
Here comes Makeup in Los Angeles, the only and unique B2B makeup event at your doorstep. The next edition, February 11th and 12th in Los Angeles at the LA Convention Center. Makeup in Los Angeles is a unique place where you can find from alpha to omega every piece of a makeup and skincare product and make your own line, advised and guided by the savoir-faire of the most qualified experts in the beauty industry. Whatever your project is, there you can find the best contact. You can ask for an invitation at the show's website, makeup-in-losangeles.com.
And now, it's Hitting the Pan.
So, Marius, tell me, you know, on our last segment of the show, we love to talk more and get to know you at a more human level. So one of the things I thought was striking about you is like, obviously, you're clearly passionate about the space, extremely knowledgeable on the science sides, more so than, you know, the average person. You've obviously been studying this, but like, what is your greater vision? I know you have a passion around social impact and cancer. Can you walk me through that and tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot to do in this world. So it's like you don't even know what to do first. The environment, equality, you know, I've got so many things that I'm passionate about. But I lost my mom to pancreatic cancer. And it was very, very dramatic because she was an incredible person and she left the world too early. And I realized that there's something about gastric cancers in particular, but a lot of other cancers as well, where there's no rhyme or reason, right? So it's like, you know, with heart disease, you know that if you eat well and if you exercise and if you take care of your gums, which is something that a lot of people don't know, you have a really good chance of having a healthy heart, right? With gastric cancers, it's like, there's people, my mom had a great lifestyle and still she got it, right? So I think that I would love to take basically the abundance that I will hopefully have in the future from this business and all the knowledge and also the contacts that I have. And I literally have royalty and heads of state and scientists and celebrities and everybody who is really interested in the highest good, and kind of put it all together and see if we can create a fund, a nonprofit company that looks at cancer from a different perspective, not only creating a protocol of wellness, that would be very important, right? So what are the things that show that basically, historically speaking, if you do them, you have less of a chance for cancer, but also starting to use like drugs that are sourced from nature that we know don't have a lot of side effects, like curcumin is one, turmeric, for instance, and really combine them with artificial intelligence and other data to see if we can create a cocktail of a drug that actually doesn't have all these side effects and really is proven to help. And that will require clinical studies that are very, very expensive. So it's a big undertaking, but I'm excited. I'm excited to do it because I believe that all of us know someone or have family members, or my God, like there's pediatric cancer. I mean, it just breaks your heart, you know? So, and I mean, that's something that I would love to bring to humanity if I can. If the universe allows me to be a vehicle for that, I would be very grateful. Of course, there's a lot of other things that you can do in life to help. I think giving, being in service is important, you know, so that you're not just focused on your own self. Of course, you have to focus on yourself first. Otherwise, you don't have the power to help. So it's like I always give the example with the oxygen mask in the airplane. Put it on yourself first, make sure you have what you need, and then think about other people and how you can enrich their lives.
Thank you for sharing. That's really beautiful. And I love, and you can tell it's so authentic. And, you know, and I think there's, you know, it's interesting. There's actually been a lot of work done where, you know, doctors have tried things where, you know, cancer patients couldn't react, and they changing their diet really had a change. And so, you know, I think there's just so much more work to be done there. I mean, the case studies exist, but how do we do this at scale so people don't have to suffer as much? Yeah, and prevent. So I love that. So tell me, what's a fun fact that people don't know about you?
I like to dance. You know, I'm sort of very nerdy in a way, but also super relaxed and fun in other ways. So it's like I actually get to turn my brain off completely, you know, well, not completely because that would be dangerous, but really just really, it's funny because to me, like having fun, going out dancing, it, you know, doing things like that, it's almost like a meditation, you know, and people don't really understand much. The word meditation actually really means that you're not overthinking. So you're not thinking about the past, you're not thinking about the future. So meditation could be like playing music, exercising, having fun with your friends, you know, really, really enjoying life in the moment, enjoying your senses, enjoying the present. That is a form of meditation. And I believe people are overthinking things, and that's part of where we have a lot of mental health issues. That's another thing that I'm very passionate about. I'd love to see people happier, you know, which is why I think what I'm doing with the business is actually working on the psychology by beautifying their outside. It empowers them to work on their inside, if that makes any sense, right?
So, yeah, totally.
If you're feeling down, and you don't know how to address that, you may just try a beautiful dress, put, you know, do your hair, get a facial. I would argue that 80% or more people will feel better about themselves right away. And then maybe then you have the power to tackle whatever psychological issue that came up from a mental perspective. So this sort of like celebration of life and celebration of the present, via being with your friends and relaxing and enjoying life and perspective, you know, realize how blessed we all are, that we have what we have. So the feeling of gratitude, right? Gratitude brings you into the presence, and gratitude takes you away from fear, more in a trust and loving feeling, which is really what we need in order to enjoy this life.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's funny, like the ideas of meditation, mindfulness, and gratitude, that have been studies done that it like changes your very, you know, like it actually is impactful. And it sounds like very, you know, like, oh, like touchy-feely.
Esoteric.
But there's, yeah, but yeah. Then it's interesting where there is an impact. I mean, if you look at, like they say, like, you know, Emily Fletcher says like 90% of like her clients for CEOs, you know, like meditate, or there's like just like really interesting stats around success, performance, and having a healthy, you know, rituals and, you know, mental health. And
I think people who are very left-brained should look at the studies. You know, like some of us, we're more practical. I mean, I feel like, you know, for me, balance between left and right brain is very important, and I can switch back and forth easily. But there's some people that are really left-brained, right? So I recommend that they look at the studies. Arianna Huffington does an amazing job with Thrive. Yeah. You look at her platform and she hits you with some hardcore numbers.
Yeah.
So it's like you can be an engineer and like totally be like skeptical about all this stuff, and you will start changing because the numbers are showing the truth. And the more research is being done in that area, the more we will evolve as humanity, because I think what we're not getting in school is we learn geography and history. No one tells us actually how to live and how to think and how to be happy. And it's mind-boggling. You know, psychology should be taught to everybody. And these tools, you know, sleep enough, you know, why is it important? Why is it important to eat certain things? You know, if you were a teenager and someone would tell you, wow, do you want to have a boyfriend or do you want to eat like pizza and drink milk and eat candy? You know, I mean, like, wow, I don't know. Like, I love the idea of that boy, you know, I'm in love with him, right? You know, right? So you probably would consider, you know, not eating all this junk food and coming up in a major acne situation, knowing that it's a strong cofactor, if someone would actually put it to you that way with hardcore science, right? But it was more of a myth. It was like, well, mom says. Well, right. When you're a teenager, mom is always wrong. As you grow up, you realize mom was right.
She was always right.
But mom didn't have the data.
Yeah.
Mom didn't have the clinicals. And, you know, as a teenager, you don't want mom. You want to know from a source that's objective that this is what you should be doing.
Yeah. So, Maris, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
So, obviously, everything today was about beauty, and I feel that maybe for most of us, we feel most beautiful when someone loves us. So having someone loving you is when you feel most beautiful. And I just want everybody to think about why you are being loved. And is it really because you are wrinkle-free, or because you have an incredible body, or because you are kind? Or is it because of a combination of all these things that make you unique, that has nothing to do with a beauty standard? And that is why someone fell in love with you. So I really want to stress that people remember to love themselves. And if they love themselves, then someone will love them and it will have nothing to do with the exterior. And they should, that's the best way to celebrate beauty. It has nothing to do with a beauty standard and a lot to do with love, actually.
Oh, that's beautiful. No pun intended. What's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you?
So the best way, funny enough, the best way to reach me is through our Instagram. So the Instagram is at Tracy Martin. And at this point, I am still on the DM. So if you want to reach me, I will try and get back to you. I've got a lot of hats that I'm wearing, but we love working with influencers. We love working with clients who are just passionate about what we do and want to learn more. And our Instagram is a really good vehicle for that. I also use it as a soundboard for a lot of the things that I believe in that we basically talked about today, from wellness to equality to the meaning of self-love and self-care. So come to our Instagram at Tracy Martin.
Well, thank you, Marius, for sharing with us and our listeners. You know, it was such a, your story, your vision, and, you know, some of the personal things, which I'm sure have been really impactful in your life. It was really great to get to know you at a deeper level. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. It's been a real pleasure. Amazing. You guys are incredible.
And thank you for all of our listeners to joining us on another episode of Beauty is Your Business. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
Ciao.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.